Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
All right, welcome everyone to Illinois Family Spotlight. I am David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action. And today on our podcast, this episode of the podcast, we are joined by cultural affairs writer Lori Higgins, who is well known for her wit and sometimes her what would you call it, Lori? Bite.
Yeah. I call it sass.
Sass. I like that word. Well, today we don't have Monty Larrick. He is on assignment doing something more important for IFI. And so we're going to sit down here with Lori and talk to her about a number of different subjects. And first and foremost, I want to, you know, every so often at Illinois Family Action, we'll get an email from a supporter or a Christian in the community who kind of thinks that sometimes the tone of our writings, specifically Lori's writings, are maybe a little too harsh, and that we should tone it down. And Lori, you've heard this complaint over the last 8 years that you've been with IFI, and you've always had a good explanation and great response to the emails that come in. But I think, you know, if they're coming in through email every so often and in person every so often, maybe it would be good for our listeners to hear you explain why it's necessary and appropriate to be snarky and to or sassy and have a harsh tone with wickedness. Oh, did I say that? Wickedness.
Yeah, well, I think there's several different reasons, and one you just mentioned, that we're dealing with profoundly wicked ideas, images, activities in the culture, and we should be using appropriate language for that in order to be able to communicate how truly evil the ideas are. You know, I often ask the question, how wicked do the ideas have to be? And how young the children to whom these ideas and images are presented before we will rise up in righteous indignation and call it what it is. And I have to say, I think what I call milquetoast language is offensive to me. When you're talking about promoting sodomy, and I'm talking about the activity, and homosexuality and cross-dressing to little children.
Dangerous behaviors.
Dangerous is mild, you know.
That's me.
it's not merely dangerous. It's truly evil.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have been so desensitized to that that we have to be able to recover a proper sensibility about that. We should have not just our ideas shaped, but our feelings shaped. And that requires strong language. And also, as someone who appreciates good writing and aspires to it, these are rhetorical devices that are at our disposal, and we should be able to use them.
Absolutely.
I'll just make one example. For those people who know A Modest Proposal, a satire written by Jonathan Swift, no one ever says, my gosh, Jonathan Swift should not have been satirical. And yet I get... Or sarcastic, we hear that. You can't use sarcasm. Somehow, Christians are finding in the Bible a prohibition of using sarcasm. And I'm sorry, I just don't see it.
No, you know, in fact, thanks for bringing that up, because all too often we hear Christian leaders and even some good Christian political leaders who just want to advance this narrative that, you know, hey, Jesus was all about love. He was kind. He only talked harshly to the religious people. He never talked harshly, but that is absolutely not correct, and it is not helpful. We're not to be, like you said, milquetoast, but if we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ, we have to hate wickedness. And I'm sorry, but how do you hate wickedness in a loving way?
Is that possible? you know, several years ago, I wrote an article about, I think it's titled Anger in the Church.
Yes.
About
yes.
the absence of anger. And I'm citing other people, far better thinkers than I am, in that article that are saying we should feel angry about some things in life. I don't know where so many Christians, and forgive me for saying this, many of them are Christian women, have come across, no, don't forgive me for saying that. I'm okay with that.
There you go. There you go.
Many Christians think that we are not, the Bible says to be angry, but sin not. It right. doesn't say not to be angry. And there are some things we should be angry about. Now, I will make a distinction. If you're a pastor or a Christian in some other capacity, just a Christian lay person,
yeah.
and you're in a relationship with someone who is struggling with gender dysphoria or struggling with same-sex attraction, of course you're talking to them differently.
So here, let's make this distinction here. You know, if somebody who's struggling or seeking, you talk to them with love and compassion.
Right.
Whereas when you're addressing those who are promoting an evil in the culture or teaching an evil to our children or to, you know, our neighbors, we have a duty and a responsibility to react to that. And sometimes a strong reaction is appropriate.
Right, exactly, because that's what I was trying to say. In some contexts, we're talking about the political, the use of politics, laws, policies, bills to normalize, you know, whatever it is, changing the definition of marriage or whatever. Sometimes we're talking about just how the entertainment industry is trying to normalize these things.
That's
and
right.
not merely normalize, but get us to celebrate them. And so in those contexts, when I'm called upon to talk about those things, I'm not pastoring, I'm going to use a different kind of language than if I were in different tone than if I was sitting with someone, a friend or a loved one who is struggling with those, and or maybe they're not even struggling with them, but I'm still talking about them.
That's right.
Talking about, you know, those issues.
You just recently wrote about drag queens doing a story hour for preschoolers, trying to normalize a very wicked behavior, and the idea that there are no you know, specific genders, that you know you can be what you want to be, that's promotion wickedness to some of the most innocent and blameless among us, and gullible or teachable or moldable, whatever you want to call it, and that needs to be addressed strongly.
Right. And specifically regarding sarcasm, I want to make this. We aren't allowed to use sarcasm. So what we shouldn't do is, you don't swear at people. You don't, well, I should say, we can call people fools.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with calling people fools or saying someone has said a foolish or ignorant, that means lacking education.
Or unwise.
That's right. Exactly. Or, you know, some people have written me and said, oh, I shouldn't have called someone a name by referring to them as a fool. And I said, well, maybe I should have referred to them as a viper.
Yeah.
You know, how to use biblical language. And then sometimes you'll hear from people, well, they only use that for the religious leaders. But do we know that it's prohibited? When I'm talking about someone, maybe some of our listeners know who Dan Savage is, a profoundly ignorant and, I would say, foolish man at best, who does really evil things and says really evil things.
That's right.
And you're going to say to me, I mean, if there is not a viper in the culture, then...
And the other end, half of that is the Pharisees and Sadducees were not just the religious leaders of the day, but they were also the political leaders of their day. And so they formed the culture. They said what was right, what was wrong. And people like Dan Savage and various state lawmakers like Greg Harris, or, you know, name somebody in Congress who is promoting legislation that is troubling, that will have an effect on our culture and will teach that wickedness is good, you know, then we need to respond to that. Let me, while we're talking about this, let's also tie in the issue of graphic material. Sometimes your writing has to expose some very graphic details. And, you know, you recently you put out something that was in Teen Vogue. Okay, this is marketed to teenagers. And it was about sodomy and promotion of anal sex. Dear Lord, I just said it on our podcast. And it is very troubling, the content and the graphics. But you had to expose it, Lori, because why? Tell us why.
To rouse people to action, to right. motivate them. And first we have to have our ideas shaped and our sentiments shaped so we will react positively. Now, we had a suggestion made to us that we just summarize what was in the article. And I can guarantee that if I had just summarized kind of what you did, people would not have understood
That's right.
what exactly children were being exposed to intentionally.
That's right. I only hit the tip of the iceberg, so.
Right. Well, even in my article, I left out the how-to about right. this. And I just described some of the other things that they said about sodomy, about celebrating this, and about the goodness of it, and all the positive adjectives they use to describe this. And so I give the example, when I was working at Deerfield High School, a controversy blew up over teaching the play Angels in America, a Gay Fantasia on National Themes by Tony Kushner. It's a Pulitzer Prize winning play. And some Christians in the community they copied excerpts. No summaries, no paraphrasing, just excerpts straight out of the play and sent it to every taxpaying household in Deerfield at their own expense. And this is a liberal community, and it generated such outrage to read what students were reading.
That's
and
right.
From that, almost 150 people, maybe it was 160, showed up at a school board coffee and complained. Over 50% of them were opposed to this. And the next year, the play was pulled from Deerfield High School, where it had been taught for a year, and pulled from Highland Park High School, where it had been taught for 6 years. If we had summarized it, it would not have generated that response.
Well, and similarly, we know that the Holocaust pictures of what was done to Jews in concentration camps were very powerful. We know that the pictures of Emmett Till's body on an open casket were very powerful in culture changing. And we know that graphic pictures of aborted babies that are dismembered and shown on street corners have an effect. Now, listen, I know that for a while there, I was troubled with these pictures being out there on the street corners because I was worried about little kids seeing them. However, I think the good they do vastly outweighs the harm they may do, because it is forcing people to come to grips with what abortion really is.
Exactly.
And without seeing those pictures, they can't. And so similarly, your exposés of this graphic content really needs to be dealt with, and people need to be confronted with this truth so they know what is going on in their culture, right?
I will add one other photo, the photo of the 12-year-old girl naked and running down the street after being napalmed in Vietnam was hugely effective for turning the tide against the war in Vietnam. And you rarely hear progressives say, no one should have seen that photo because it was obscene and unwholesome.
Right.
And in fact, you don't hear conservatives say that either. It is obscene, and it is unwholesome, and it is ugly. And that's what it takes to motivate people to action. It's sad that it does take that. It should be just a summary, but it's not, because we've been desensitized and because we're cowards.
All right. Well, let's take a break here. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about the transgender issue and how it's ramping up, and Donald Trump's recent decision to ban military service for transgenders. We'll be right back.
Do you want a better education for your child? Consider Freedom Project Academy. Built on Judeo-Christian values and classical curriculum, Freedom Project Academy provides more than 100 live online courses for students in kindergarten through high school. With live class instruction, teacher hours, recordings, assignments, quizzes, tests, grading, and transcripts, Freedom Project Academy is faithfully educating America. Request your free information packet today.
Okay, welcome back. I'm glad that you've decided to join us. Today, I am speaking with Lori Higgins, our cultural affairs writer, and we're talking about some of the things that are going on in the culture, some of the reactions that we're getting at the office from our Christian supporters. And right now, it's kind of fresh. This transgender agenda, say that five times fast, right, is really ramping up in our culture. It's almost as if the Supreme Court decision, what was that, 2013, to redefine marriage kind of opened the gates for the transgenders. No, you don't think so?
No, wasn't it 2015?
Yeah, I think you're right. 2013 was when it was passed here in Illinois. Never mind. Yeah. You're right. So 2015 is when the Supreme Court decided to mandate the redefinition of marriage. And it's almost as though the LGBT group, Human Rights Campaign and Equality Illinois, turned to the transgender community and said, well, it's your turn. And it's been no bars hold, everything going forward. And we've seen it in our schools. We've seen it with the bathroom wars. We see it with Target boycott. And now recently we've seen it with the military ban. And we are delighted to see that Donald Trump is listening to his generals and military experts and deciding that no, in fact, transgenderism or gender dysphoria or gender confusion, whatever you want to call it, is not allowed in the military. You cannot be openly schizophrenic. Can I use that word? Schizophrenic in the military and live this lifestyle. What's your thoughts on this, Lori?
Well, I've got a lot of thoughts on this. I think we want to make clear that we're using the term schizophrenia metaphorically. These people have not lost touch with reality. In fact, every person who identifies as trans knows they have a sex. They know what it is, and they know it will never change.
That's right. So,
in fact, I was just watching a video of a young man says, to clarify the issue for everyone, gender identity is a feeling. It is a feeling that you are male or female. Now, I want to say what they usually identify gender identity as, the subjective internal sense of yourself as male or female. So now let's take a step back and ask, how would they define male and female? Because what the trans community says is that maleness and femaleness has nothing to do with DNA, anatomy, biology, and nothing to do with the arbitrary, socially constructed expectations, behaviors, roles that society associates with male or female. So if it has nothing to do with your interests, your biology, your anatomy, your dress, your haircut, none of those things, to the left, what is maleness and femaleness? How do they know they feel like a female? What is a female? They've just said it has nothing to do with Bruce Jenner, when he won the decathlon as a male athlete, he was actually always female because that's his gender identity.
Right.
So if what does that mean though? Because it has nothing to do with any of those things. And here's the problem. If maleness and femaleness has nothing to do with that, we are not talking about just allowing a few gender dysphoric persons, because by the way, the left also says, the trans community, that not everyone who identifies as trans experiences gender dysphoria. That means that what we're really heading toward is the eradication of the public recognition of and respect for sexual differentiation everywhere for everyone. You talk about the military, which I want to talk about in a second, but I want our listeners to know there's a bill pending in California right now that would, if it passed, would say room assignments in nursing homes will be based on gender identity, not on sex.
Wow.
We're saying that elderly people could be assigned rooms to room with someone of the opposite sex. And if the person objects to it, it's not the gender dysphoric person who's going to move. It's going to be the other person who has to change their room.
All right. Just to be funny here, Lori, for a second. So if I come up with a new gender identity that hasn't been thought of before, do I get a private room?
Well, actually, no. They will put you with anybody, no matter what the other person feels like, they will put you in their room. So, for example, they just passed guidelines in Minnesota that say for schools, these are school guidelines, that say that if a student objects to using restrooms or locker rooms with persons of the opposite sex, the objector can be segregated, that's the language in the guidelines, unless segregating them makes the transgender student feel stigmatized. And then they don't tell what happens then. You're going to force kids to do that. So I want to get back to the military for 1 second.
Yep.
Because what yep. is not being addressed in most of the discussions, people will focus on the cost to taxpayers of, you know, their they call it care or treatment. Of course, if there's nothing wrong with their body, because that's, you know, that's what the left is saying, that you don't have to, that your physical anatomy has nothing to do with gender identity. Therefore, they don't need to change their anatomy. So a lot of conservatives I hear saying, well, as long as they have surgery, they don't care if they're in the restrooms. They don't think they need to have surgery.
That's right.
So we never talk about, well, what about, for example, the women in the military who are now going to be, would have been forced to share barracks, showers with persons of the opposite sex who will probably have the same, their male anatomy. And we don't think that's problematic.
No. And you ask a very, very powerful question in this debate on transgenderism, where you say, gender confused folks have a disconnect between their mind and their body, and they're convinced that it's their body that doesn't align with their mind. And you point out, well, why isn't it a possibility, and of course we believe it's a possibility, that it's vice versa? Explain that.
Exactly. Well, they say that they experience a mismatch between body and mind, and they say the problem is with their body. I want to point out, here's where things get tricky. They're starting to say that's not the case. There's nothing wrong with retaining your male anatomy, even if you identify as
right,
a woman.
Right.
But let's go back to the earlier incarnation of their ideology, which is to say there's a mismatch, and yet they know with utter certainty that the problem resides in bodies that need to change. And
yeah.
Why would they assume that? What is their evidence? Because they feel really strongly. So if that's the argument, then let's apply it consistently.
It's a moving target. It's a moving target. This is a fluid situation. Well, listen, I want to talk briefly too about the fact that the military has to be an effective fighting force for our country. The job of a president and the chief of the armed forces has got to really. This has got to be a priority for him, the national defense of our nation and the ability, the readiness of our fighting troops. Now, I read somewhere, and I don't have it cited here, so forgive me, but that for every one gender confused person that is dismissed or rejected from military service, they reject over 1,000 people because of obesity. Now, as a guy who is well overweight, should I be going around starting a new category of folks to complain about girthophobia?
and
the fact of the matter is, the bottom line is, people who are obese are rejected because they are not conducive. Their physical condition is not conducive to military service.
Exactly. Well, Tammy Duckworth recently came out and talked about when she was, you know, seriously wounded on the battlefield, she didn't care about the gender identity of the people rescuing her. And I said, listen, I wouldn't care about any condition of any person rescuing me if I was bleeding to death on a battlefield.
That's right.
All those conditions. My son-in-law has keratoconus, which is an eye problem. You can't serve in the military with any degree of keratoconus. If I were bleeding on a battlefield, my son-in-law is very strong and very fast.
Yeah.
I would be thankful for him to be there and carry me off the battlefield. But that is it. If people can go, I think I cited in my recent article, they can go to the military's website, all the conditions that preclude you from serving in the military.
Yes, you did. Yep.
And
right.
it is well known that those who experience gender dysphoria, who identify as the opposite sex, have serious mental health issues, depression, suicidal ideation, which, by the way, is not remediated by surgery.
No, in fact, Representative Greg Harris, in a Facebook post, mentions that, he, in defense of transgender community and criticizing Donald Trump's decision to ban such people serving, said that we were picking, or the right was picking, on the weak and vulnerable, which he unwittingly makes our case that the weak and vulnerable shouldn't be serving in the military.
Well, yes, they had, I'm sure a lot of our listeners saw it was tweets that were put together into a you know, a consolidated document by this vet named J.R. Salzman, who came out, who lost his arm in Iraq and came out. He was responding to Lady Gaga, who said something similar to what Greg Harris had said about these people suffer from these, you know, these emotional, psychological problems, and now we're making it worse. I don't have the quote in front of me. And Salzman was saying, this is what it's like to serve actually out in the battlefield, how grueling it is, and the littlest issues become huge and magnified, and people with any kind of emotional, mental issues should not be in the battlefield.
Could you imagine? I mean, really, seriously, in the front line or going door or, you know, block by block in Mosul, for example, could you imagine having someone who just breaks down and starts crying or is not able to handle the stress that is coming their way and being able to return fire? Anyway,
I think it's a really important point because what the left says is they say all these problems, the depression, the suicidal ideation, all that is caused by societal bias. Okay, well, if someone, there's a lot of societal bias against conservative, theologically orthodox Christians.
Yeah, right.
You don't see the same degree of suicidal ideation among them. So if someone is vulnerable to society looking askance at them because they're cross-dressing, you think they have the mental wherewithal to serve in this? He was saying that in his tank or whatever it was, it's 150 degrees and the equipment is heavy and the stress is enormous. And yet these are people who get depressed because people disapprove of cross-dressing?
Yeah, right. In reporting on this issue, the Chicago Tribune tried to reach out to Republican lawmakers, and they couldn't get anybody to come on the record, which is really angering. I mean, this is an issue that's 75-25. Most people see clearly the issue of gender dysphoria as a problem. Peter Roskam was quoted in this Chicago Tribune article, and he was a little bit critical of the decision, saying, hey, we should have waited till the study came out, till the Department of Military, what is the Department of Defense came out to with a review of how it would affect. And to which I say, and I want to get your reaction to this, Lori, we need a study to figure out if gender dysphoric people are a good fit for military service? What?
You know, it's absurd, and I believe that his statement was something that he could latch on to be evasive, because yeah, they also said in there he would not answer the question about whether he thought they should be in the military. So I think that was a convenient way to...
This is why our side loses, Lori. This is why we lose. We capitulate. We don't want to engage. I mean, this is a pretty easy thing to engage on, wouldn't you think?
I've said this in many interviews now, which is this is the most significant sexual revolution or cultural revolution in the history of mankind,
yes,
bar none. Where we're getting to a point where we're going to say sexual embodiment as male or female doesn't matter. And I talked to a young transgender guy, he's a guy pretending to be a woman, who said, without me even asking, said exactly what I've been saying, that their dream is to have co-ed everything everywhere. That not just for gender dysphoric people, for everywhere, everyone. So either our objective sex matters or it doesn't. And if it doesn't matter, then we shouldn't have sex segregated spaces for anyone everywhere. That's the bottom line.
Right. And you know, to that point, a local conservative radio talk show host astounded me the other day when talking about this issue by saying, hey, look, as long as they've had the reconstruction surgery and the amputation, fine, let them serve the way they are. And to that, I was shocked because, you know, scripture is pretty doggone clear here. In the beginning, he made them male and female, and it does not say that you can cross over.
That's right. So is he saying, therefore, that women who've had a double mastectomy for breast cancer should be allowed to use the men's restroom? Because once you remove your body parts, you become the opposite sex. You don't become the opposite sex. And if a man has lost in some kind of terrible accident or in a war, he has lost his penis. does that mean I'm going to be any more comfortable with him in a women's restroom?
Not at all.
No, it doesn't. And you know, this is, people have said to me, some people who identify as trans have said, you know, trans people have been using opposite sex restrooms forever and nobody noticed or made a big deal about it. In other words, no one knew. So the argument he's making is, if their costume is elaborate enough that they can deceive people, no harm, no foul. So here's my analogy. Therefore, people who's, I'm not, I want people to be very clear. I am not saying that trans identified people are voyeurs. I'm saying there's another condition called voyeurism. So if voyeurs can
masquerade,
that's right. If they can, using technology and everything, effectively peep on women, and women don't know it. They don't record it. They don't do anything with it. They just are peeping on them. And the women don't know it. No harm, no foul. I'm using this as an analogy to say, so if men masquerading as women can do it really effectively so women don't know that that person next to them in the stall or walking around the dressing room is actually a man, no harm, no foul, then the same thing can be said for voyeurs. As long as they can peep without being discovered, no harm, no foul.
Well, it seems to me, Lori, that too many conservatives are in retreat. They're looking to capitulate and find some kind of a middle ground because they're afraid. I think they're afraid of the media. They're afraid of being labeled haters. And IFI has the dubious distinction of being called a hater by the radical left SPLC group. And so I think many of them aren't willing to fight the way we're fighting, the way you are writing, the way you're engaging and trying to call attention to this cultural revolution. And it's really sad to me that more, and I know your calls are often, guys, bulb up, rock up, let's right. go, stand.
Right. No, it is infuriating to me when I hear either the ignorance that you heard in talking to someone who says, oh, as long as they've had surgery,
right,
or the spinelessness of what we see in so many of our lawmakers. This is the way cultural change happens, incrementally. It's the slow accretion of little things that we ignore and don't address, and people need to understand where this is headed. This is not headed for less than 1% of the population being able to use opposite-sex restrooms.
Exactly.
It's headed toward the eradication of sex segregation everywhere. So
yeah.
Can I just say this then? It's restrooms, locker rooms, dressing rooms, showers, women's shelters, men's shelters, semi-private hospital rooms, nursing homes, prisons, the military, athletics, everywhere. There will be no more. There will be no such thing as men's and women's anything. So the left is saying that objective biological sex has no intrinsic and profound meaning. All that matters is internal feelings about one's sex. We don't have to accept that. That's their strange, bizarre, dystopian, doctrinaire idea. And others of us can say, no, objective sex matters profoundly.
Amen. That's right. Absolutely. Okay, with that, we have to wrap it up. But we do want to encourage you. Look, if you're a conservative, you need to step up. If you're a Christian conservative, you really need to step up. Yes, go ahead, Lori. Lori has one more thing she needs to
say. I'm sorry. I just want to say this because many school districts, Governor Christie just signed a bill into law that will require all public schools to refer to trans-identified students by the opposite sex pronouns. I want to say there are Christians working in public schools right now who are doing this, and they have no business bearing false witness in this way, even if their jobs are in jeopardy.
Now, and we have every business to love our neighbor as ourself and protect especially the most vulnerable and impressionable among us. So,
you know, what does that say to every other student in the school when they hear their teacher referring to students by opposite sex pronouns?
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, we're going to talk more about this, and maybe we'll talk about more. You sent me an article, Lori, about the baby dolls, or what was that about? You're probably going to
write about the robot dolls.
Yes. The masks that they're
female maskers. Oh,
maskers. Okay. So there's a new one on me, and we'll probably have to come back and talk about that. But with that, I've got to wrap it up because we're well over time, and I just want to Thank you for joining us today. If you have if you have a question or a comment, you can send us an email at feedback@ifiaction.org. That's feedback@ifiaction.org. All right. God bless and thank you.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.